The following is a teaching by Ivan Apana, founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban South.
Get acquainted with this anointing that will prepare us for our journey from Mount Hebron to Mount Zion. But we have to get acquainted with this anointing because this anointing will first adjust us. Before we come to Zion, our garments of unrighteousness has to be exchanged for garments of righteousness. We have to understand the whole purpose of who he is, what he constitutes of, and of course, what's the requirement from God. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, we said, all power, all riches, all wisdom, all strength, all honor, all glory, and all blessing belongs to him. And when we pray daily, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, we are asking for his power and his riches and his wisdom and his strength and his honor and his glory and his blessing to manifest on the earth. And so, when we understand these seven attributes of majesty, this Elijah anointing is coming to put into perspective a group of people that will be able to showcase, to carry, and of course, to be proponents and agents that will bring these majestic attributes of who God is to a world that is waiting to see. The world does not want to see the church. The world wants to get acquainted with the kingdom of God. That's the reason why in my concluding statements last week, I said that the world must see the kingdom. All of Jesus' parables had to do with making the kingdom of God visible. If you go through all the parables, it starts off as follows. The kingdom of God is likened. The kingdom of God is likened. And all of the parables, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning or application. And Jesus uses parables. He uses even metaphoric language. He uses similes. He uses images. He uses enigmas. All of these things to paint in our mind pictures that will help us see things. Clarity to sight is so important in these last days. And that's why a revolution is needed, called the Elijah Revolution. The word revolution will somehow be parallel or can be included in a constellation of words that will include the word reformation. It can include the word metamorphosis. It can include the word restoration. And I'm going to define these words to you so that you understand, as the people of God, why this Elijah anointing is needed for this end time. Last week, I spoke to you about a tsunami. A tsunami is an agent of extreme makeover. Now, why do I speak about a tsunami? A tsunami is this huge wave that comes in and it's sometimes not expected. It comes through an earthquake. It comes through a cataclysmic condition or event like a meteor hitting the ocean. But more often than not, it's an earthquake that takes place in the water towards the shore that allows the earth's tectonic plates to be displaced. And thus, a huge wave comes out and it travels more on the shoreline at almost 800 kilometers an hour. Okay, so a tsunami is simply a sudden rise in sea level, and it's most often caused, as I said, by an earthquake. You're all aware of that. So this tsunami is about to hit this earth, not only the world, but also the church. There are two powers in the spiritual world, the powers of good and the powers of evil. They combat each other in the spiritual world. And inside a man, we also have this fight that goes on inside you and I. Paul would use the following word: the things I don't want to do, I get to do so easily. But the things I want to do, I can't get to do. Because there's always a tussle within each one of us. And I'm sure, as sons of God, we go through these type of challenges internally. And that's why we need an agent to shift us internally. And that agent is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We need both of these to work simultaneously and spontaneously within us to shift us internally. Your true person is inside of you. Am I right? I'm all dressed up as a pastor in front of you. Some of you may say things or pass comments or commendations, but you don't know what goes on inside of me. I dressed up myself to come and present myself to you. And so, this anointing called the Elijah anointing has spoken to me on how to be undressed before the Holy Ghost. How to allow the eyes. I saw the eyes of God like flaming fire look deep inside of me. And this morning, I share this word with from a place of self-conviction. A place where I'm unraveled, I am shifted inside of me because I cannot preach to you if I do not allow this word to shift me. As elders of this church, we have to first look inside of us and allow this word to shift us. That's why I invite you also, beloved, under our care, to also take stock this morning. All of us in this congregation this morning, as you sit under my voice, you have a choice to make. You can choose to listen or choose not to listen. You can choose to adhere and you can choose not to adhere. You can choose to receive what I'm saying with humility, or you can reject what I'm saying this morning. The choice is yours. But I implore you by the mercies of God that you allow the living word to adjust you. And this adjustment today is not punitive. This adjustment is for your advancement. Why won't you enjoy the true blessings of our Father while you have breath still on the earth? There are so many things that He has provided for us that we have not walked into as yet. Why? It's because we are not sufficiently preparing ourselves. Listen, all of you this morning are intelligent beings. God has given you high levels of intelligence. And I know you. Your IQ is high. Your EQ is high. And your SQ is high. You have good levels. But there's something this morning that is missing in us. And we need a revolution, a complete overall of our spirit. Every time we gather, there must be a supernatural outpouring. You know what's happening to our children? Our children are not seeing the supernatural take place amongst us. They're not seeing this word shifting their parents and shifting this environment. That's why they want to find it in dark rooms on TV games and movies and all other alternates are providing some form of supernatural stuff that they are not seeing in church. And they're being lured by the enemy, who is a perfect deceiver, taking our children away. So unless the next generation, listen, many of us as seniors are going away and we cannot anymore just cater for those that are going away. We have to cater now for those that are appearing. The sons of God that are the spirit of sonship that's appearing in our children. We have to prepare a word that will shift them. We have to now sacrifice and bring this environment every time we gather. Somehow the church has lost the fear of God. People just walk in just like they are going to a mall. This is a place of supernatural interaction. This is a place of engagement with the Holy Ghost and fire. This is a place where the word must transform us. I pray to God that all of us will come to this place. I am convicted this morning. If I have to stop right now and prostrate myself at this front and cry to God, I will be able to do that. I just want to leave this mic down and cry before God. And together with us all, cry to God, come into our environment, God. Remove those obstacles. Remove those things that will hold us back. My God, shift us one more time. We need the Elijah anointing. What's this Elijah anointing all about? Who is this Elijah? What did he do? Why are we speaking about this anointing this morning? It must be pertinent and very important if Jesus speaks to us about it. Let's go on. The Bible is saying to us, there are certain areas in our life, the area of religion, the area of business. All of you are positioned somewhere in this arena, and somehow the enemy, the arch enemy called Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub. Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. Somehow he's seated in each of these different parts of our existence. Go to business. Wall Street talks about the bull market. And the bull that they're referring to is Baal, the spirit of Baal. We have been to downtown New York, where Manhattan, where the stock exchange is. And they have a picture of a bull in front of the stock exchange. New York stock close to the 9/11. And you know, outside Israel, the greatest Jewish community is in New York, in Manhattan. When we go to government, when we go and see all of these things that are happening, the church is neutralized. The church is neutralized. Before I go and quickly dispense this teaching this morning on the Elijah anointing, and I don't wish to rush it, let's go and look at what God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Put that up, please. We know today that Satan controls religion. He controls family. He controls education. He controls the government. He controls media. He controls arts and entertainment. And he controls business. But you know what? All of these kingdoms are going to become the kingdom of God. The moment this anointing called the Elijah anointing, who is going to bombard, is going to blast, is going to go against these spirits and go against these different systems and shift these systems, bring them down and help the church, the remnant, the church of Jesus Christ to grab these different systems and hand them over to Jesus Christ. This is about military time. This is time where the church cannot be slack, complacent, sluggish, retarded. The church has to be on its toes. This anointing is now. This anointing is coming. I pray today that all of us will just fall in line to the captain of this ship. All of us will fall in line to what is going out from those microphones. Get ready. Get in order to what God wants. Come on. There's a few things that's going to happen. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, I tell you what, just put up for me. You are going to possess nations. When the Lord your God brings you into the land, some of you are going to step into supernatural authority. Some of you are going to be given a position of influence you have never known. I prophesy that over you. Yesterday you were the clerk, tomorrow you will become the CEO. God is about to bring you into something that you have never experienced before. Number one, be faithful to Him. Number two, love Him with all your heart, body, soul, and spirit. Number three, do what He wants you to do. Number four, execute your purpose on the earth. And when you start to do these things, God's attention is grasped by your faithfulness. When you got God's attention, the Lord your God will bring you into the land which you go to possess. And when you go to possess, He will cast out many nations before you. He will cast out the Hittites. He will cast out the Girgashites. Remember, I said there's seven attributes of His majesty. Every one attribute of His majesty is going to override our enemies. There are seven major enemies. We are going to overcome these enemies, hallelujah, by now standing in each attribute that will flow from heaven. That's why Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," hallelujah. All of these heavenly attributes are going to manifest not through the atmosphere, but through you and I, hallelujah. And each of these enemies, and I want to cover two before we go to this anointing. the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations. They may be greater and mightier than you, but God will overcome them. It's not about how big you are, but how big the God that you serve stands in you. Hallelujah. And many of us are going to become possessors. Say, I'm a possessor. Go to Psalm 2:8. Hallelujah. Psalm 2:8. And we come back and look at two of these spirits that we are going to overcome because of the Elijah anointing that's going to help us. Hallelujah. Bring to down to ground. Crush every spirit of darkness. Beloved, it's not going to take lazy Christians to do this, but it's going to be those that are sacrificial in their drive and those that are strategic in how they're going to partner with God Almighty. Are you with me? Sorry if I'm sounding a bit too excited today, but I need to. The Bible says in Psalm 2:8, read together with me, church. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. I said to you some time ago that this is God speaking to Jews. Now, we're not talking to the natural Jews. God is now prophetically declaring over spiritual Jews. All of us are spiritual Jews, hallelujah, because the heart has been circumcised. Romans 2:28 tells us that if our hearts are circumcised, we are true Jews, hallelujah. And today, all these promises are for you and for me this morning. So I stand prostrate before God in total awe of how He engineers, how He crafts out, how He navigates stuff, pathways for us so that we can go and fulfill, possess, and have our inheritance. Ask of me. Oh, this is verse here. Thank you so much. For he is not a Jew who is one outward. Outward Jews are in Israel, in a real estate piece of ground called Israel. But the true Jews are those that are connected to the Father, those that are loving their Father. They are true Jews. For a Jew is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. This is a heart matter this morning, where your heart is connected to the heart of the Father. When that connection takes place, beloved, then you are regarded as a true Jew. And you know, Psalm 2:8 says to us so clearly that God has promised us not something that is where he's a miser, but he wants to lavish upon us the best of everything that he has. Why won't you allow God to touch you? There's two ways to get to the finish. One, through toil and sweat and perspiration. The other way is to allow the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to direct us. How many of you want that? Hallelujah. You want that? And the ends of the earth as your possession. So let me just define for you this morning what a revolution is. A revolution, number one, is a drastic and far-reaching change in ways of thinking and behaving. I repeat that. A drastic and far-reaching change in ways of behaving and thinking. Secondly, a revolution is the overthrow of one system and its replacement with another. I tell you something. You go to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. I think it's the right passage of scripture. Revelation 11, 15. This is what we are told. This is what we are told in Revelation 11, 15. There's a revolution coming. Overthrow of one government or system and its replacement with another. I say to you, the sons of God are going to arise up through an apostolic anointing that is not just going to be immature and sporadic, but something that's going to be established. The word apostolic means sent. God is sending something. He's sending this revolution called the Elijah Revolution as an apostolic sending to come and adjust the earth so the earth will look just like heaven. Oh, the prayer of Jesus will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Let's read together. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, read with me, this is for you, beloved. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Who is you and I? We are the Christ of our Lord. Come on. We are the anointing that carry, we are the vessels that will carry the anointing. How do I know that? If the head is Christ, the body can't be Satan. The body must be Christ. At the moment, there's a misalignment. The head is there, the body is here. But when they come together, hallelujah, the Lord Christ and His Christ, His possession, we are His possession. We will allow and we will make every kingdom on this earth to become the kingdom of the Lord. I want you to keep this as a prophetic picture in your mind. This verse of scripture. And he shall reign forever. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever. Daniel had a picture of this when he said, of his kingdom, hallelujah, of his rule, there will be no end, hallelujah. No matter what political party is trying to come up, they are there temporarily. The kingdom of God will reign on the earth. And I want to see you all reigning and ruling forever and ever with the Lord. So let me define. Yes. So number one, a drastic and far-reaching change. God is changing stuff, going to change stuff. This anointing is a robust, not a tap on the back anointing. This anointing will call for every spirit of darkness to meet on Mount Carmel. This is a bulldozing anointing called Elijah. It's coming to shift the counterfeit and expose the counterfeit and bless and raise up the true. Now I'm praying for all my colleagues in the ministry, all my colleagues that are leading churches, including myself all over the earth, irrespective of what they are. They may have done good in their lives. They may have done certain things for them to be where they are. And they are going through torrid times. They're going through changes. They're going through times of depression. And I'm telling you today, we pray that every man of God will be revived. Hallelujah. Every man of God will be forgiven. Every man of God will rise up like Samson, who rose up again from his state and pulled down those pillars with all that he had. I pray today that every man of God, as I pray for them, they will be changed. They will take up right now, take up their mantles again, put on the garments of righteousness, take up their office again, and start declaring, decreeing again all over the earth. There is a second chance for every man of God to repent. And I pray as they repent, God in the earth, we need them. Hallelujah. So I pray this anointing will adjust first men of God. Hallelujah. So when we go to 1 Kings chapter 17, we first get to know, 1 Kings chapter 17, we first get to know about this man called Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word. Who's speaking? Whose word? Elijah's. Put the scripture up for me, please. James 5:17. I tell you who Elijah was. James 5:17. I tell you who. No supernatural. Read there. James 5:17. James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was no out of this world person. Read with me, please. Elijah was a man with a nature like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not for 3 years and 6 months, 3.5 years. He was a man just like us. He was a man sometimes too tired to pray, sometimes prayed more than enough, sometimes didn't want to even come to church. He was a man just like us. There was nothing different, but something God did in this man's life. Let me just go on, okay? So let's go back to our context. He was a man just like us. Then he spoke, listen, he spoke these words, and at his word, God came and fulfilled what he said. And so many times we think we must speak what God speaks. But yeah, God is listening to what the man, just like us, is praying. He said, at my word, Elijah said, there'll be no rain. And all heaven said, we'll fulfill this word. You and I, just like Elijah, can have that posture and position. Is there a company in this church that can stand together with us and say, we will pray until things happen? We will bring heaven to a standstill so heaven listens to us. Hallelujah. My God, nothing is impossible. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you are carrying. You don't know the potential you have as you sit here. You didn't come to be spectators this morning. You came to be students of this word. You came to let your inner man be shifted this morning so that you could bring heaven, so that heaven can be, earth can be like heaven. That's exactly what Jesus wanted when he prayed, thy will be done on earth. Earth must be a replica of heaven. Shakatala mayan. Oh, I'm serious. You want to be serious? You want to be serious also. Come on. I know there's somebody here this morning. He's saying, he's talking to me, Pastor. You're talking to me. I want to be serious. I want this thing to change my environment, my community, my job place. My life must be changed. Your hand up with me if you feel so. And I'm here with you. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here. Turn eastward. Hide by the brook Cherith. The word Cherith in the Hebrew means separation. There's some things, if you want this supernatural anointing, there's some things that you have to separate yourself. The first thing you must separate yourself is from your own flesh. It gets you and I in trouble all the time. It makes us become victims, or we want the pity party. Elijah, if you want to do the great exploits, I want you to separate yourself. You may lose friends. You may lose sentimental relationships. But who cares? I want all of God more important than anyone else and anything else. One man shifts a whole nation because he was prepared to separate himself from flesh. And the word Cherith is, this anointing is coming this morning to separate us, to shift us. The word shaking is the Greek word metathesis. God is shaking the heaven and the earth one more time, so that the true could be exposed and the counterfeit can go. Get away from here. Turn eastward. Hide by the brook Cherith, place called separation. And so verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed at the brook called Cherith. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath. The word Zarephath in the Hebrew means refining. Two things this anointing is going to do. It's going to separate us from things that are unproductive, ways that are devious, systems that we are victims of. And God is then going to Zarephath us, refine us. Why? The things that are going to happen in us are bigger and greater than the present. We have to go to the refining. We go to the refining. The word prune. The word prune in John chapter 15. The word prune, when they do the pruning, it doesn't mean cut off. It means that a farmer goes to those grapes that are in the sand. And the last level of grapes that are hanging and they're filthy and they're in the sand. He puts a bucket underneath. He washes those grapes and he picks them up so that they are not filthy anymore. That's what God wants to do in refining us. There's worth in us. And you may feel, I'm a write-off. There's no good in me. I've messed up so many times. But hold on. His mercy rewrote our lives. And his mercy still wants to rewrite our lives. Amen. And I believe strongly, this Elijah anointing is coming to bring mercy into the earth in dimensions that you will not feel condemned anymore, that you will not feel like I'm a write-off. God is coming to pick you up, prune you, pick you up, and just wash you so that you can produce greater harvest. Amen. And so we go on and we understand that this anointing is so powerful that it's going to do certain things in the earth. But you may say the earth is too powerful for us. No. No. Once you start separating yourself to getting yourself refined, fine-tuned, refined, becoming that distinguished son of God, you are ready for God to do supernatural things in your life. Amen. Now, one of the things that this anointing is coming to, and let's go now and find that in the book, in the context, 1 Kings chapter 18. You all know the story about Elijah reviving the widow's son. So let's just take that. I'm going to close just after this and continue next week. Is that okay? There's so much to talk about this. The more we talk about it, the more visible it becomes, clearer it becomes, and we are able to touch. But let's just see from this passage. We read Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, that this anointing is coming to do the following in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And then I'll just give you this case study and find out what's happening. Hallelujah, my God. And it came to pass, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. So there's a prophetic grace that has to be released in this end time. What is the purpose of the prophetic grace? The voice of God is heard in the affairs of man. Let me say that again. The prophetic grace will make the voice of God become clearer in the affairs of man. This is the grace that's coming. So no more flesh. It's going to be the voice of God that will direct us. Amen? That's the prophet. Why he's sending a prophet? Before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord, we spoke about the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise virgins. We found out that the foolish, it was a dreadful day. But the wise, it was a great day. Hallelujah. So you choose today whether you want to make this day, when this anointing comes into the earth, a dreadful day or a great day. Okay? You have a choice. And this is what this anointing is going to do. This anointing is going to verse 6. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. So who's first? The heart of the children or the heart of the fathers? The hearts of the fathers will first turn to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. There's a curse that's going to come upon the earth that's going to be unbearable, destroying the systems of the world. Hallelujah. And what is going to cancel this? The wineskin of the apostolic grace that's locked into the Father-Son wineskin. Let me just give you a context of this in the story. We're talking about Elijah. Now it happened, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. You know that Elijah had an upper room. I tell you something. In each of your lives, always see that you have an upper room prepared for this grace, a fathering grace. It'll cover you. It'll change your situation. It'll bring you great wealth. You know this widow, that she was turned from one who was about to die. She became super wealthy with possessions because of the grace that was locked in this man called Elijah when he walked into town. Now let's read this. So she had a son given to her, and it happened that, so she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. Be careful which bed you want your miracle to take place. Very, very important. The man of God laid things that are dead in his arena, and something happened. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, Have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Are you with me? Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, a man just like us. James 5:17. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Elijah anointing will take a child and turn the child into a son. This is the power of this anointing, that members of a church can be changed into sons. As long as you're a child, you have no right to the inheritance. Children are not given cars to drive. As long as you're a child, you read that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. As long as you're a child, you have no right. You are still under tutorship, still under guardianship. You have to become a son to enjoy the inheritance of Abba Father. So this Elijah anointing is taking infants, children, and changes them into sons. Unless this transaction takes place, there will be a perpetual curse on the earth. That's why a pastor cannot lead a church. A pastor is a function. A father leads a family, doing the function of a pastor. So, I am not Pastor Ivan. I am Ivan the pastor. Are you with me? We call Jesus, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, Jesus. He's not offended. Is he offended? Why must I be offended by titles? So pastor is not a title. It's a function that a father executes over a house. Pastoral poemics. Is that right? Has to do with caring. A pastor cares. An apostle busts environments. A prophet speaks the oracles of God. An evangelist brings people to Jesus. A teacher disciples them. But a pastor cares for the sheep. It's a function. Are you with me? But this Elijah anointing, stand with me as we receive the announcements. The Elijah anointing, number one, turns children to sons. You cannot stay as infants. You will see the benefits, but you will not walk into it. You want it? You want the benefits of sonship? Come on, let's upgrade. Let's upgrade this morning. God bless you as we continue to talk about this revolution called the Elijah Revolution.